He had a Hall of Fame career on the field.
Paul Molitor is the first player in the history of baseball to get a triple on his 3,000th hit.
And now he's making out the lineup card for his hometown team.
I'd like to introduce the 13th manager of the Minnesota Twins, Paul Molitor.
This is the Paul Molitor Show, your chance to hear directly from the manager on the state of your team. Now, here are your hosts, Chris Atterbury and Jack Morris.
Well, a happy 5th of July. No reason the 5th shouldn't be just as happy as the 4th. Hope everybody's enjoying a safe and happy holiday weekend with friends and family. Glad the Twins baseball is a part of it. Certainly three dynamite games so far in the series between the Twins and the Royals, with Game 4 coming up this afternoon. Chris Atterbury, Jack Morris, here in our network headquarters at Target Field and from Kansas City, where he's probably just recovering from another thriller last night. Pleased to be joined by Paul Molitor. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, guys. We're just down here in the office in Kansas City getting ready for another game. Enjoyed the 4th of July with a good win. Family here. My wife's birthday was a good day. So, ready to get back at it today.
Paul, I guess we're going to start with the halfway point. We're almost to that.
We're there.
And your assessment of the team, really been exciting in a lot of ways to see where the Twins are at, positioning themselves for maybe a postseason run, and your needs or wants of where you think this team needs to continue to improve as you go towards the second half.
Well, that's a big question, Jack.
It is. And, it's actually two.
You know, we know it's halfway because Irvin's back today, so that was kind of our benchmark for getting halfway through the year. And you know, there's been, if you want to kind of recap it, you certainly can look at a lot of positive things. Everything from how our starting rotation has improved dramatically since years past, and some of the performances we've seen individually, you know, a guy like, you know, Dozier pushing for an all-star, Perkins, you know, just the grittiness in which a lot of guys have played with. And do I wish we were in a little better place? Sure I do. I mean, we had to go in there for a while, and we gave a few games back in June, but, you know, we're holding our own for the short term. Need-wise, it's hard to say. Irvin's joining the rotation today, and we all know that that's a very valuable asset to have come onto your club. And we're still in a little bit of flux in terms of, you know, what's going to happen in center field and shortstop, and those are two pretty big positions for you. But, you know, overall, you have to be happy where you're at, and, you know, really try to push hard this last week. Don't let your guard down as you go into the break, getting ahead of yourself with your 4 days off, and then see where we're at once we start into the second half.
Paul, I was going to wait till the end of the show to ask you this question, but because we're talking about Irvin Santana, I have to ask you this now. What's the census for you, your coaching staff, knowing that this guy could pitch his heart out for a half a year and not be eligible for postseason?
Well, you know, that's it's just the way, you know, the way of the law. I'm not sure exactly of, you know, how they came about deciding that, okay, you're going to get your 80 games, and if by chance you're in the postseason, you got to skip that too. It kind of seems like a double whammy for people who don't get to the postseason. You're actually imposing less of a penalty on the player who does get to the postseason. So, but it is what it is. You know, we'll take him back here gladly and warmly, and hope he just takes off, energizes our team a little bit. And then we'll just have to, you know, if we have to deal with that problem at the end, it's a good thing for our team. Unfortunately, he won't be able to be a part of it.
When you look at the Santana move, obviously yesterday the announcement made that Trevor May, for the time being, is now a bullpen guy available as of today. How did that discussion with Trevor go, and how did that process, that decision, come to be made in terms of deciding that for the time being he's the guy who's going to be working out of the pen?
Well, Chris, it hasn't been easy. You know, it's one of those things where we've been monitoring here for a while. It's not like all of a sudden we traded for a guy into our rotation and we got to make an immediate move. We've had time to kind of think about it, watch it transpire and unfold. Obviously, there's an opportunity to potentially, you know, use six-man to the break and those type of things. No one really pitched themselves out of the rotation, certainly not Trevor May. It's just we look at our team, how we shape up from here to the break, You know, the one person that's going to be affected by Trevor going to the bullpen is going to be Kyle Gibson. It'll give him an extra start before the break. And, you know, I just kind of like the whole idea of the rotation, the experience the guys have that are still going to remain in the rotation. Trevor's going to, you know, things happen. You know, we're going to see him in different roles here in the bullpen in the short term. Just a matter of time, probably somehow, somewhere along the way, we're going to need him as a starter. So we'll just go forward. Neil, I, Terry, everyone's kind of collaborating the best we can to make the best decisions to try to win games.
Paul, I guess there's the argument, and I'm one of them that will argue it. I'm not going to shy away from it. Trevor May seems to be a guy that's a part of the future in the rotation. And I guess the argument is, why wouldn't he be better off starting games in Rochester until the availability of something maybe happening here at the big league level?
Well, Jack, that's a real possibility. You know, we're talking about, we told Trevor the other day, in the short term here until the break, the way things are, for you to go ahead and go out there. I thought a combination, if it would be good for him to be out there and have him available this week, maybe taking a little blow from rotation work, whether here or Rochester, to kind of energize him in terms of protecting innings pitched over the course of the whole season, especially if he finds his way back in the rotation later. So let's see how this next week goes before we decide what Trevor's role is going to be here coming out of the break.
Yeah, the timing of it, pretty fortunate because you guys have a chance to kind of assess there as you get the All-Star break at the end of the week. Baseball will be played before then. We'll take our first time out and come back and talk about what has transpired over the last couple of days offensively with this club and the addition of young Miguel Sano. That's coming up next. It's the Paul Molitor Show on your home for Twins baseball.
Want to make your home a more comfortable place, but don't think you can afford a top-brand heating and cooling system? Well, Carrier has the right solutions for every budget. When you turn to your Carrier expert, they'll show you our full lineup of best-in-class home comfort systems and help you pick the one that best fits into your home budget. From our value-priced comfort series to our top-performing Infinity system, at Carrier, we've made excellence more affordable than ever. Because in this economy, who couldn't use a little more comfort? Contact the experts at 1-800-CARRIER or carrier.com.
It's another season of Twins baseball in the great outdoors. Brought to you by Target. Expect more, pay less.
While a cow eats 25 pounds of hay each day, a Case IH round baler can bale 450,000 pounds of hay in a day. And while cattle have only one job to do, a Maxim Series tractor has 70 tools and attachments to help you do any job. Sure, cattle bring in the profits, but for every other job you need to get done, count on Case IH equipment. Visit your local Case IH dealer or caseih.com/livestock.
Hi, this is Twins third baseman Trevor Plouffe. Imagine bases are loaded, it's full count, and who's coming in to pitch? Well, you could be with the Ultimate Twins Game Sweepstakes. One lucky fan will watch the game from their own private suite, throw out a first pitch, and hang out with me before the game on September 19th. Look for sweepstakes rules and entry forms wherever Sheboygan sausage is sold. Or text keyword Ultimate Twins to 24587. That's 24587. Don't forget to enter the Ultimate Twins Games from Sheboygan Sausage. I hope to see you on September 19th. Sheboygan.
This is the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
It's the Paul Molitor Show. Happy Sunday morning to you. Twins try to win a series in Kansas City later on this afternoon. At noon, Dave St. Peter's in studio for Inside Twins, Twins president. Then we've got our pregame lineup card. Then Irvin Santana's Twins debut opposite Danny Duffy and the Royals. Right now, Paul Molitor is our guest. If you've got a question for Paul, if your ears aren't still ringing from the fireworks, it's 877-38-TWINS, 877-388-TWINS. 9467. And Paul, speaking of fireworks and ringing, the ball rings off the bat of Miguel Sano. Boy, he's a young guy, but when he stands in the batter's box, he stands in there with an air of confidence no matter who's on the mound.
Well, I think everybody, kind of like Buxton's situation, we've anticipated Miguel getting here. you know, ever since he really signed back about 5 years ago as a 16-year-old kid. So it's been great to have him come up here. He's shown really a positive presence, I think, and just the calmness, the confidence. He's an imposing figure in that batter's box. You know, this Perez for the Royals, you know, you get up next to him and you realize you're standing next to a big man. And when Sano's in that box, they kind of match up pretty good. So he's held his own. I think his at-bats have been solid from the standpoint that he's trying to get some good counts. He's not missing pitches. He's fouled a couple maybe to hit the first night that he could have maybe drove. But you got to be pleased with the things that he's showing in the batter's box so far through his first few games.
I certainly am impressed with him and his ability to not only hit the ball, but like Chris said, he has a presence there and he has a confidence that some of the other guys, you can't teach that, Paul. I think you understand. I understand that. It comes from within, and he just, you know, he looks and acts like he's been in the big leagues for quite some time. With that being said, let's talk about some of the other younger guys. Where are we at with Buxton right now? And Danny Santana, you know, how do you project him? If Buxton comes back and is ready to play again at the big league level, what's the role with Danny Santana?
Well, you know, first of all, you know, you're right about Sano. You really can't teach that. I think he's developed it over time, and he's handled all the attention, the documentaries, the film crews. When he was a young guy, believe me, he had really, really big holes as a hitter, and little by little he's plugged them up, and I just think that's added to his confidence in how he goes about his job. The other guys, it's Buxton's thumb is improving. With the swelling, he didn't have a lot of mobility with it and different things, but it's starting to come back as the swelling has gone down. It's just going to take a time before he starts up baseball activities. He's still a ways away. But thankfully, at least he's feeling better. Jack, you know, we're kind of in a mode here where, you know, given the personnel, whether it's kind of having three shortstops and maybe a couple different center fielders and different things, it's challenging, you know, to try to make these guys feel a part of the team, kind of go with who you feel has got a chance to help you win that game that given day. Certainly trying to hope someone gets hot and runs with their opportunities. But I just have to communicate with these guys the best I can on why I'm doing what I'm doing until we kind of figure out how we're going to kind of lock it in a little bit better. But, yeah, so Danny's getting some time, center, a little bit of short. You know, he's doing fine. I think he's starting to swing the bat a little bit better. He certainly looks like he's a little more confident. We're just hoping that trend continues for him.
One last question before break, Paul. With that being said, you've got a kind of a delicate situation because you have a chance for postseason. I understand that winning games is very important, and yet you've got a whole flux of young guys that you're probably trying to gather more experience for the long run. And I imagine that's quite a balancing act for you.
Well, it is a balancing act. The fact that we're halfway through and people still saying we have a chance for the playoffs, that's all great. I think everyone here realizes that, you know, we're halfway is halfway. That means
right.
You got to try to at least do what you've done, if not better, as you go forward. And that's a challenge. So we don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but we're going to try to take advantage and continue to compete daily. The balance of young guys in how they're going to gain experience from playing in meaningful games, hopefully, it's a good thing. I mean, even you go back to the St. Louis series on the road, and we lost a couple tough road games in a National League city against a really good team. You need those games, even when they don't work out to your advantage in terms of the final score. And here in Kansas City, we're playing some, you know, for July, their games are pretty intense.
Sure.
And the crowd's into it, and, you know, it gets down to it. You see how guys respond, you know, can they do the little things on the mound? Can they hold the runner and not miss a sign and the base runners? It's just fun to watch guys respond when the games get a little bit more intense. And hopefully we're learning how to handle ourselves in those situations better.
We have to get to a timeout. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll go to the phone lines. Dan and Dave are both standing by to chat with Paul Molitor. If you have a question, it's 877-38-TWINS. Taking a quick timeout on your home for Twins baseball.
Treat the family to Minnesota Twins baseball all season long with the help from the Our Family section, presented by Fox Sports North. Starting at just $10, purchase a ticket in one of the two alcohol-free Our Family sections and receive a free Schweigert hot dog and Pepsi. Don't wait. Get your Twins family tickets today.
This is a guided meditation on parenting. Take this time to breathe deeply and close your eyes. Right now, you're completely in control. Unlike the time you and your son played basketball and you attempted to slam dunk. Or when you tried removing those raccoons from the basement. Concentrate on the soothing sound of my voice. Release the memory of when you wrestled with that beehive in your son's treehouse. Let go of the time you thought that skunk was a cat, or when you pulled into the garage with your son's bike on top of the car. Deep breaths. Deep breaths.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Make Sundays family fun days at Target Field. Kids ages 14 and under can receive not-hold tickets in select sections courtesy of Super America, get autographs, and run the bases after the game.
This is Savannah Guthrie with an urgent story developing all across America. Despite having more than enough food available, there are nearly 16 million kids struggling with hunger. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks engages local communities in solving hunger by collecting surplus food, giving hope to hungry kids. But they need your help. Learn more at feedingamerica.org.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
It's the Paul Molitor Show. Chris Atterbury, Jack Morris at Target Field. Paul Molitor at beautiful Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City, where the Twins chance to make it 3 out of 4 against the Royals later this afternoon. Right now we go to the phone lines and we go to Dan in New Prague. Dan, do you have a question for the manager?
I do. I'm an Eduardo Escobar fan, and I wonder what that guy has to do to get that shortstop job full-time.
Well, I'm glad that you're an Eduardo Escobar fan. I think we all are here. He's the guy who did well last year in stepping up there and playing for us on a fairly regular basis. You know, this year it's been a little bit of a challenge. We have different personnel, and right now we're in a little bit, in a transition period here where Santana's coming back. We all know he's got a bright future. Nunez has given our club a spark when he's played. Danny's got to continue to play well to get his at-bats just like Escobar does. You know, we've seen a couple signs of life lately out of both of those guys with their bats. I'm trying to get the right guys in there on every given day that I get the opportunity.
On that point, Paul, before we continue with the phone calls, you've kind of ridden the throttle beautifully on Escobar and Nunez, where maybe you get 3-4 days out of Nunez and then 3-4 good days out of Escobar. What are some of the factors you look at on a daily basis to kind of figure out which direction to go with those two guys?
I think you have to sometimes, look at defending, to try to rank Danny and Escobar and Nunez as shortstops on a given day, especially when you have your ground ball guys out there and how you want to make that look on the defensive side. Offensively, I think it's important at least try to have a fairly accurate evaluation of your player's strength as hitters and who potentially they match up well against, not just numbers because sometimes they're misleading. But you kind of get to know what guys might give who trouble. Now, the Escobar question, where he didn't come out of spring training as a starter. We're at the All-Star break, and he's got almost 200 at-bats. So he's getting time. It's not like, he hasn't found ways in the lineup. It's just a matter of trying to, go with the people on a given day that give you the best chance that you think to win.
All right, let's get back to the phones. My home state of Montana, out in Sydney, Montana, here's Gary. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're doing great. You have a question for Paul?
Yes. Paul, I before the game, the managers meet with the umpires and discuss ground rules. What are they, or how are they different, or do they change, or what's with that?
Well, there are some universal ground rules in all parks. Each park has its own uniqueness to it that requires specific a specific address from the umpires in regards to how certain balls will be played in terms of railings and home runs and screens behind home plate and cameras on the field and things of that nature. Now, the first game of the series is when those are covered. The teams that you play multiple times, for instance, within our division, sometimes it's not necessary to review unless something has changed. Target Field has its own little specific set of rules to some of the things that we have unique to our ballpark. But it's just important to know those. I always try to walk the fields on the road before the games just to see if there's any nuances and certain things that need to be considered once we get up there and talk about the ground rules.
All right. Thank you, Gary. And let's stay out west. Let's go to beautiful Rapid City, South Dakota. Jack, you're on with Paul Molitor.
Yes. I was wondering, if you were going to trade for a power hitter, when would you decide to do that? And to lose some young talent would be dangerous. And how do you go, what's the process of going through that if you're going to decide to do that?
Well, it's a little bit out of my area. I talked with Terry about needs that we have. When it comes down to trying to measure, you know, how much you're willing to get up to try to supplement your team in another way, it's a tough call. You know, generally, you know, people have talked about starting pitching and some of those things. It's a dangerous game. You know, you really got to think those things through. It's not like there's a lot of power hitters just out there that clubs can't wait to get rid of. It's a matter of they're going to leverage out their guys, teams that do want to maybe move some people to try to stock their organizations for the future. So I'm sure as we get here into July, some of those things are going to start heating up. There's a lot of clubs still feel they have a chance, so there's going to be a lot of competition for players that might be available. And then you just have to kind of tread yourself a little bit forward slowly and try to make good decisions for your club.
Paul, I think all of us as fans love to play general manager at times and fantasize about trades. In reality, what I see in the game, and I guess this is my question for you, do you see it too, is that no matter what your stockpile of tradable people are, it seems like there's very little willingness from other general managers, and the reality is there's not a lot of trades that are significant in baseball anymore. Free agency is one thing, but in-season trade deadline trades seem to be something that really doesn't rock anybody's boat anymore.
I think you're right. I think there's a lot of reasons why that's the case. For one, because of the extra wild card and more teams feeling like they have a chance. It takes a while for clubs to decide if they want to be buyers or sellers. And, you know, there might be a couple teams out there that we know are going to be willing to move players, whether it's Philadelphia or whomever. I'm sure there's going to be some talented people that do get moved here over the next 3-4 weeks. It's just hard to measure how many there's actually going to be and how significant it'll be for the clubs that both trade and receive.
Got to take a quick time out. We'll be back in a moment. More Paul Molitor on your home for Twins Baseball.
Honey, another cabinet door broke.
We'll fix it with duct tape. Using short-term fixes when you need long-term solutions, a U.S. Bank Home Equity line of credit can help. Visit a branch, usbank.com/lowrate, or call 800-209-BANK. For details about credit costs and terms, call 800-209-BANK or see your U.S. banker. Some restrictions may apply. Subject to credit approval, home equity loans and lines offered through U.S. Bank, National Association, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Hello, Dream Kitchen. Goodbye, duct tape.
This is the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
I told you it was going to be a quick break. Chris Atterbury, Jack Morrison studio. A few more moments with Paul Molitor. And, Paul, we saw Ryan Presley leave the ballgame with the trainers by his side. Shoulder strain was reported yesterday. Trevor May just got to the bullpen. Irvin Santana hasn't thrown in a major league game yet this year. What does your pen look like today in terms of availability? And what are your expectations between the lines for Santana today?
Well, you know, there's no way to predict exactly how he's going to throw. You know, throwing 3 games in Rochester, they were all positive, particularly the last one. You're not sure how that's going to translate, what his emotions going to be like, how he's going to handle the return. I'm not sure the response of the fans, although he did pitch for the Royals for a while. There's probably worse places he could get his first game than here in Kansas City. But, you know, we've had to use the pen quite a bit. We do have Trevor available in probably a longer role if we need it. Graham is also available in a longer role if needed. you know, with Presley being out, we're getting him evaluated here this morning to find out what we need to do as far as potential DL there. But a lot of the other guys, you know, have thrown the last couple of days, whether it's Boyer and Fien and Thompson, and you know, Dunson got three big outs yesterday. Perkins should be fine. I'll wait till some of these guys get out there and throw the ball around a little bit to see just how much work they can give us if we need them today.
What about Danny Duffy? He was a guy who was banged up earlier this year, but an awfully talented young left-hander. What can you tell us about the approach necessary against a guy like that?
Well, he's pitched well against us. You know, our numbers against him individually, nobody really jumps out in terms of good matchups. He's pitched well. He throws hard enough. He's got a nice breaking ball. Changeup is effective to the right-handed hitters particularly. We got to be careful on the bases with this guy. He's picked a couple of our guys off at first base with that little step-off quick move that he has as a left-handed pitcher. So, you know, hopefully the trend continues. We did some good things with the bats last night. We saw some guys respond. Dozier got us started. Trevor had a good night. Of course, Joe had maybe one of his best nights of the season. So, he's tough. You know, he had been hurt a little bit. He missed some time. Numbers are changing a little bit for this year for him as far as lefty-righty matchups and those type of things, but it's like any other game. You got to go out there and you got to adjust to what he's got on that given day.
Paul, what can you tell us? I know a lot of times this early in the day you've got to talk to players and trainers to find out your lineup. You got anything in mind today?
Well, I have a kind of a tentative lineup, Jack. I kind of want to go with our experienced people. I know we're in the midst of a long stretch. I've tried to go to give a couple guys a day rest at the last day in Cincinnati. But the big question I tried to text Torrey this morning to make sure he was going to be okay. He's the one that I'm concerned about. I think everybody else is going to be fine. He's the only potential change. I'm hoping he's good to go because I'd like to get him in there today.
All right, good stuff, Paul. We'll let you get back to work. Appreciate it this morning, and good luck getting that series to close out your last road game of the first half.
All right, guys. We'll see you when we get home.
All right, that's Paul Mahler. We got about 40 seconds here, Jack. You've done it. If you haven't pitched in a major league game, you can't simulate it. We know Santana's been around the block quite a few years, but there's a difference, isn't there, today?
Well, there's a bunch of things working on his emotions today. Number one, the adrenaline of a big crowd, which we expect in Kansas City. It's a major league game. And the haunting, whatever's going in the back of his mind about what happens if the boo-birds come out. You know, it's all part of what he's going to have to deal with today.
Yeah, not to mention all those big league hitters. We'll see what happens. Should be interesting. Twins and Royals, if you missed any of our Paul Molitor program, you can find it online at twinsbaseball.com. Reminder, Twins president Dave St. Peter across the network at noon with Inside Twins, followed by Twins Baseball from Kansas City. For Paul and Jack, I'm Chris, right here on your home for Twins Baseball.
This has been a presentation of the Treasure Island Baseball Network.